you wouldn't take Nick Saban, or you would take Nick Saban?
Why wouldn't
you take Nick Saban?
Well, part of it is that just the age, right? Like, what is the runway for somebody like Saban? How long do you think he's going to be coaching here and coaching that young, exciting quarterback rookie that he's going to be attempting to develop?
3 years?
So that just feels like you're not really solving an issue or like advancing your team. You know, it doesn't seem like a real plan.
Well, you don't want to sign up for a handoff to get to another handoff. You don't want to have to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. But I also think that if you got to the end of this season, if you don't think the season is going to be a good year and you are as obsessed with finding a QB as they are, and you are as obsessed with trying to win as they seem to be, because you can't say that they ain't trying to win. They just may have made the wrong decisions. If you're as obsessed as they are, yeah, they'll absolutely try out a guy like Nick Saban. Or not even a guy like Nick Saban. They'll try out Nick Saban with this football team. Yes.
What if, Anthony, we packaged this, and I don't know that this guy would do it, but what if it was Nick Saban as your head coach and Lane Kiffin as your OC?
Okay, so that does, man, you want to talk about a team that would... You want to talk about real attention? Like, the Shador stuff right now would pale in comparison.
Right.
You want to talk about a real national storyline every day where reporters would be embedded in Cleveland, Ohio, and they would be embedded, meaning they would move here. They wouldn't just be renting, or they wouldn't be...
Judas Priest.
Like, that is real attention that we're talking about.
I think
Keith, are you hearing me? That's real attention.
I don't think Lane Kiffin would want to work for Nick Saban anymore. However,
well, that's not the point, though. It's, hey, in 2 or 3 years, once we get this thing up and rolling, now you get to walk into something that you helped build and be the guy that is actually the feature player. Nick Saban's just the opening act.
Lane Kiffin calls a hell of an offense when it's not crunch time. I don't know if I'd want Lane Kiffin's a good offensive mind.
That's one way to go about it. What about, and just hear me out.
What?
Greg Williams, okay. And his OC is Freddie right. Freaking Kitchens.
Right. Goodbye. We're done here. You want to run that back? 216-474-0092. Patrick and Hudson. Hello.
Guys, good morning. Thanks for taking me.
Glad to have you. Oh, congratulations on all your success.
Oh,
I think
yes,
you were waiting
Hudson.
On that. I forgot. You're in Hudson. Go ahead.
Thank you. Lima, I agree with you 100%. Ken, I think you're out your mind.
Oh, okay.
You want a guy like Saban with no proven track record in the NFL. You're better off with our current head coach that's actually had success in the NFL, for one. For two, Arch Manning's not coming out for another 2 years, so you get a rookie 76-year-old head coach. 76 years old. That's our grandfather.
He's not a rookie head coach. He coached in 2005 and 2006.
So 20 years ago, you want to bring up a two-year unsuccessful stint 20 years ago to have any back to go stand in the sky. Cleveland cannot handle another circus, and you would bring in a Nick Saban that would be an
answer. Can't handle another circus? What do you mean? We've been handling circuses for the last 20-plus years. What are you talking about, we can't handle another circus?
So
Nick Saban, of all the things, is a circus? Nick Saban is a circus?
You don't think that Nick Saban, as your head coach, would not be just a media circus?
It would be a media spectacle of a lot of things, but I don't think he'd do a lot as being a circus. I mean, good God, he had Gus Frerotte. They went 9-7. Yeah, Gus Frerotte, they went 9-7. Say that name again. Gus Frerotte, they went 9-7. Wasn't Sage Rosenfels on that roster?
Sage.
Look it up.
Iowa State's own.
Iowa State's own. They love him there. I think Sage Rosenfels was on that roster there, for crying out loud, Patrick. They went 9-7.
The only 75-plus-year-old guy you gave me would be Pete Carroll. Other than that, I would much rather take...
You'd have Pete Carroll over Nick Saban?
110%.
Oh,
he's had success.
I mean, Pete Carroll's certainly been successful. But I'm saying
he's
over Nick Saban.
He's going to be 74 in September.
My God.
Nick Saban he's the greatest college coach of all time because he's coaching college. And coaching college and coaching NFL are just two different things.
Well, no, not as much anymore. I mean, hell, you have more control over your players now in the NFL than you do in college.
I do wonder if there's going to be some blending now, if you're going to see more
hell
of that.
Hell yeah, absolutely. I think you have more control than you ever did before. He didn't have any control. Now you don't think he's going to have control, especially if he's with Art. See, I totally disagree, Patrick. Thank you very much for the call anyway. He's going to have, if you were to put this thing together, and it's, guys, and I know you guys are going, what are you doing? What are you talking about this for? It's crazy. No, it's not crazy. This is the same team that paid Deshaun Watson $230-plus million guaranteed. So you can't tell me anything's crazy. This is the same team that traded for Odell Beckham Jr. in a first-round pick. You can't say that anything's crazy. Everything is on the table when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. If we were talking about the Guardians, there's definitely things that aren't on the table. But when it comes to the Cavs and Browns, it's all available. It's all there. They're all obsessed, and so it's all there for the conversation. So basically, anything that's said into the ether with anything that involves the future with Arch Manning or the Manning family or Nick Saban or anything like that is all a possibility. You can't just pull that. You can pull almost anything out of the sky, and it's going to be a possibility with them. So even Lima, who doesn't want Nick Saban, isn't saying, oh, no, it's no possibility, because it's the Browns. Everything's available. Everything is on the deck. And so if you went and you got a guy like Nick Saban, who did pull in, and I'm getting the confirmation here, he did have Sage Rosenfels, thank you, Dad. He did have Sage Rosenfels on that 2005 roster. Then obviously, yeah, you're going to have yourself a guy who does work somewhat decently with quarterbacks. I know he's more of a defensive guy, but does work somewhat decently with quarterbacks and would probably have more control over his players than he ever did when he at the end, or what he would if he were to go back to college.
So isn't it funny? Like, this conversation started because we were responding to a clip.
Yes.
National show that was kind of putting everything together, that was tying a lot of different things, especially when it came to agencies and who your owner is. And what could be available a year from now when you have a couple of first-round picks. Meanwhile, back here on planet Earth, we have something developing here with your starting quarterback, presumably. I don't see a lot of pushback for what me and you are saying here.
No.
When it comes to the news in the last, 16 hours or so of Kenny Pickett and his injury and what that means for Joe Flacco. But more importantly, for our conversation, what it means for Shedeur Sanders. Is this disrespectful? Is any of the talk that we just had about Nick Saban, about who the quarterback they could take number one overall a year from now, a certain Manning individual, is it patently disrespectful to Shedeur Sanders, who might have just been given the biggest news of his young NFL career?
Am I talking to Shedeur fans or am I talking to Browns fans? Which fan base am I talking to?
You're telling me they're two separate fan bases,
Well,
huh?
Yeah. I mean, hell, you had the lady in the car saying that the only reason that she's a Browns fan, or that all Shedeur fans are Browns fans, because Shedeur was taken by the Browns. So let me know which audience I'm talking to first before I say what I'm saying. Am I talking to Shedeur fans or am I talking to Browns fans?
All right, let's talk to Shedeur fans.
Okay,
right,
you want
now
me to talk to Shedeur fans?
Those that we can tell, by the way, because we get the numbers sent to us. We've had a little bit of uptick around the country.
People in Texas.
People wanting to hear some Shedeur Sanders talk.
People in Boulder, those fans, people who are Shedeur Sanders fans, they're going to see it as a slight and they're going to take it as a disrespect. Okay, fine. Guys, I can't stop you from that. He was a third-day pick. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, and I don't think anybody's trying to be disrespectful with Shedeur Sanders. But when you have a day three pick, you can't tell me that you're not also, and this is what makes this season so murky, you can't tell me you're not also trying to figure out next season as well. So you don't tell me that they're trying to hold back Shedeur Sanders. If I'm talking to Browns fans, why the hell wouldn't you have that conversation anyway? As a Browns fan, I hope that he or Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett, I can't put that on Joe Flacco, I hope any one of them were to be able to take the reins of this thing and pull the nose up on this thing and be able to be a franchise quarterback. Yes, and if anybody's listened to this show over the last how many months since they took Shedeur Sanders, you know I want Shedeur Sanders to be good. You know I would love it if he were to end up being a franchise quarterback for this team. It'd be wonderful because I was such a damn fan of his father. But I'm only being fair to the situation. They're absolutely, if all this is here for them, they're absolutely positioning themselves, and this is what's frustrating, because you don't have an identity. You're positioning yourself to try to take advantage of what veterans you have, But you're also, you can't tell me you're not trying to get ready for the future. You got two first-round picks. If you were trying to win right now, you just would have held on to Travis Hunter. And you would have taken him. So you had to get ready for the next year. So that meant that Shedeur Sanders was off the board and he fell to you. It's not about sabotaging Shedeur Sanders. It's about putting people in the right position, trying to put people in the right position, and the organization trying to put themselves into two places at once, trying to be a competitive football team this year, but also somehow, some way, trying to put themselves in the best position possible to make draft picks in 2026. It's a very hard needle to thread.
I cannot believe the amount of chatter. Now, I was off of social media, at least in terms of my presence and getting involved in these debates. But playing catch up last night, the amount of fans, and you're right, Kenny, I don't know if they're Browns fans or probably more Shedeur fans who have come on in to participate in a lot of this, and they want to see that young man excel, and they want to make sure that young man is put in position to excel. The way that they are just casually confusing this Brown situation and determining that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are sabotaging Shador's chances.
Why would you take Shedeur Sanders and sabotage his chances?
That's what I'm asking. Like, I get it. These people don't think the Browns are a smart organization to begin with. But to see that, that makes no sense to me.
The only way.
What would the Browns get out of that?
The only way that I could see anybody being, and this is me just spitballing here. The only way is if you believe that this organization, from coach to general manager to everybody, is so inept that they don't see the talent that they have in front of them. Which is, by the way, they were 3-14 last year. You get judged by your record, you get judged by the score. I can't fight you guys on that. I mean, you got a running back that you took in the second round that I don't know if he's going to ever play for you as of right now. I have a team that has given a big, big, big contract to a defensive end to stay on this football team when they probably could have got two first-round picks for him and really set the tone for it, but you didn't want to give up all that money for Deshaun Watson and then trade away Myles Garrett because you wanted to save face. So I'm over here making arguments, but I need to look at common sense. Why would I take Shedeur Sanders and then somehow bury Shedeur Sanders? The team that's needed a quarterback that has all the jerseys, the 40 quarterbacks that we've been looking for a franchise guy since Bernie. Why would I take that guy who has that type of charisma? He does. I don't care if you're the biggest hater on earth. You have to admit that Shedeur Sanders has charisma. Who has that famous of a father, that much of a following. Why on earth, if I were the Cleveland Browns, at any position, why on earth would I sabotage him? Why on earth would I go about burying him? There is zero sense to that whatsoever. If you are one of the ones, and I know that people get addicted to the arguments. So if you're one of the ones that have followed Shedeur Sanders from high school on, you know he's had a lot of haters. Because people hated his father. His father is polarizing. That means because who his dad is, he becomes a polarizing figure. So you get addicted to the argument. And anybody who questions anything is a quote-unquote hater of Shedeur Sanders. There's no hate for Shedeur Sanders in Berea, Ohio, or Cleveland, Ohio, or anybody within any sort of position of power with the Cleveland Browns. Nobody's a hater. You can say they're inept and make that argument, and maybe that ends up being true, but they're going to give him every single opportunity they can. And with the Kenny Pickett injury, this opens up what? It only opens up another opportunity for Shedeur Sanders to show what he has, because now you will have more reps and more quality reps that Kenny Pickett was going to have, and now he has them. And Dylan's going to have them as well, but you'll still have more reps with more quality receivers to throw to.
Well, Kenny,
so you'll really get to show off your stuff, and you get to show off your stuff in front of the national media coming to town here because it's Hall of Fame weekend.
I agree. I do wonder, though, like, there is this underlying sentiment from this part of the fan base that, hey, we're Browns fans. We welcome in all sorts of new Browns fans if they're materializing every day. With that said, like, do we really believe Shedeur should be treated like a first-round quarterback or a top-five quarterback? Because that's how that new part of the fan base wants him treated. They want him treated like he was a top-of-the-line first-round top five pick for a guy taken in the fifth round.
That's not what he was. So until he plays that way, and maybe he will start to show it this week.
If he does, I think things will change dramatically.
Of course it will, for the love of God. Did he not lead the NFL at one point in New Jersey sold?
Yeah.
Why would the Browns want to hold that down? It makes zero sense. If you're saying that the Browns are sabotaging Shedeur Sanders, I'm sorry, you're just addicted to the argument. And you don't want to see common sense of what this organization is.